The views and opinions expressed by the guests, callers, and hosts on this and all Rents Radio Network programs do not necessarily reflect or agree with those of the network, its commercial sponsors, its radio station affiliates, or internet broadcast platforms. In these controversial times, we believe the First Amendment and freedom of the press are absolutely essential to the survival of our nation. Thank you. And now, enjoy the program.
Okay, here we are, and it's Tuesday. Tuesday it is, yes. All right, lots of things going on. This isn't over by any means. The saddest part of it is that so few Americans will probably ever understand, and many of you abroad already get it because you've been put through these kinds of things before. But most Americans will not accept or be able to mentally synthesize the reality that the planning of what's going on now goes way back. Ultimately, it goes back at least 100 years. It's all about that word that many liberals can't begin to understand, communism. It's all about communism. Soviet States of America is the goal of communism. Right? Agenda 21. Communism. This has been planned and funded for a long, long time. The riot's going on right now. And if you go to the top of the site, you'll see I wrote a couple paragraphs up there to introduce you to the website. It's one, and there are probably many other companies that are essentially Rent a Riot, Rent a Mob, highly organized and sophisticated businesses. It's right there. You don't have to be a rocket scientist to connect those dots. I mean, it's right there in front of you. But yes, nothing is left to chance. Nothing of any significance is allowed just to sort of bumble along. These things are all planned and plotted. I'm not talking about down to the very minute detail of somebody throwing a Molotov cocktail. No, but the larger picture, which I implore everyone to continue to try to keep in mind. Pull back. When you think you've got it figured out, pull back. Look at the bigger picture. This is all by design. This is a color revolution, and we're real close to having a civil war here, which will happen. If they have decided that that's what they want, it will happen. And the easiest way to trigger a civil war is to go to a riot situation with a couple of snipers, with silencers, and shoot a few cops, shoot a few rioters, shoot both sides, and watch what happens. They tried this very same thing, and it worked in Kiev, Ukraine. They shot people on both sides. So anyhow, it's all a science. It's not a guessing game. It's not anything less than an art. And when you have supercomputers, AI assisted, if not AI run, modeling all of these things, they know plus or minus 1 or 2% what's going to happen. No matter what they do, they've got the results before they even launch it. The people now have been dumbed down so much that they are pathetically predictable. The people in the larger sense of the word, not you individuals who understand, the masses, those useless eaters that Henry Kissinger used to talk about, those people are so easily handled and manipulated, it's not funny. Now, if there was one American I would nominate, I don't even imagine another nominee, one American who should be nominated as the person who has analyzed, forecast all of what's going on right now, from the communist roots of insurrection through the dumbing down of the American intellect, dumbed into oblivion in many cases. What you're seeing in some of these videos is nothing less than Cro-Magnon Stone Age behavior. Simple. It's not civilized. And that person would be Charlotte Thompson Iserbeek, my friend of many, many years, who is back with us tonight after going through a harrowing physical ordeal, hit her head, lots of problems, but we're happy to say that she's doing great. Welcome back, my friend.
Oh, thank you so much. I found myself laughing as
yeah.
you were speaking. I mean, I just can't deal with it. I think, it was my brain that got, basically, let me tell people this so they don't use Eloquence. It wasn't my fault that what happened, that I had that brain bleed and they had to go and drill through my brain and get the blood out of there. A big clot, huh?
Uh-huh.
They had to do that, and he was a great neurosurgeon. Luckily, he goes between Mississippi and Portland, Maine, because they don't have enough neurosurgeons in this country, and he happened to be on duty when they brought me in, and
wow.
he took me on a very urgent basis. Yeah, and he wondered
a traveling Charlotte, a traveling yeah. neurosurgeon.
Yeah,
that's really rare. Have chainsaw, will travel. I got it.
Oh, God. Well, I talked to somebody else who'd had brain surgery, and they told me there was a top brain surgeon in California,
uh-huh.
neurosurgeons these are, right?
Yeah.
And he goes back and forth between San Francisco and Ohio, I think.
So wow.
they don't have enough of them. And so anybody out there was thinking about a doctor who might go into that field, you probably could do pretty well anyway. But anyway, he was smart enough. I believe he knew that I had been a pretty healthy person, although I don't know that he even bothered to read my background. He had to move so fast. But he found out that when I had my hip surgery last August,
yes,
because I have atrial fibrillation, and I can keep it under control pretty well, but there was a surgeon, a cardiologist, who recommended put me on Eliquis, and that's all right because you sort of have to, keep. I didn't have high blood pressure, but I had atrial fibrillation, right? And so he put me on Eliquis to make sure that the blood pressure stayed okay and whatever else. And but he never checked back with me, Jeff. Since I've had this brain surgery, they check with me all the time, and they make me keep a record of everything. But he never got back to me, so I don't ever take pills at all. I'm a very healthy person.
Yes.
I've never had anything except breaking my bones skiing, or, I had hepatitis once, which was the worst kind. I had a month in the hospital in South Africa. The doctor wouldn't even let me put my foot on the floor. I was almost dead there. But that's not an internal... I've never had any internal problems. So this cardiologist didn't check back. I'm taking the pills like candy, right? Every day, my little Eliquis. And after 6 months, bang, I am out and I can't talk. And I have to go to the, you know, ambulance takes me to the hospital. Within, you know, 24 hours, I was, had gone through this terrific surgery. He saved me. I mean, really, he did.
Right.
And God Almighty, I guess.
I'm very well aware of what you went through. I understand.
It's very interesting how Eliquis, I want people out there to listen. Look it up. It's got many, many lawsuits. It's had lawsuits for years now for this very, very similar thing that happens, that happened to me. And I'm not going to join in a class action suit or something. I'm so fed up with everything that's going on the last year in my life that, and then this, of course, the latest is worse than brain surgery. I mean, really, everybody's going to have brain surgery if they, if the government keeps doing what it's doing to us. I mean, I've always felt that Trump needed brain surgery anyway. But let's
we don't have a government.
We're stop talking about the brain, okay? I am very happy that my brain is back, I think. And
sounds good to me.
I survived it. What?
Yep. You're good.
Quite amazing. It was quite a, I think it was 3 hour surgery. I mean, really, he did a wonderful job. I don't know. I believe he really, they expected me to go out. There was one nurse who recommended that they not even operate. She recommended that they wait a few days and see if the bleeding would stop on its own. Well, he didn't go along with that suggestion. Thank heavens. I would have been dead.
So this I've seen X-rays and CAT scans of hematoma, subdural hematoma. That's right.
Subdural
This subdural. I had a dual, massive subdural hematoma in that crash 5 years ago, that suspicious crash. But the point is.
You did? Well, what did they? I mean, and they? How did they stop the bleeding?
I refused all services and left the hospital. Because they were going to cut the top of my head off and start cauterizing my brain all over the place. My whole cranium was bleeding inside. But
you had was, it was a miracle you survived.
Well, yeah, it was, yeah. But my point was that for all of you out there, what Charlotte survived is remarkable because a hematoma, a subdural hematoma, the size of a 25-cent piece can kill you. That's the truth.
Well,
you look, you'll see online.
Yeah.
You can find him.
Yeah.
Yeah. So they went. That guy.
I looked later and found out that I was sort of like only about 20%
of
the people who have that survive.
That's right. I know. Anyway,
yeah.
I
think you have God on your side. I'll tell you because you walked right out of that hospital room and you had. Well, I mean, look, who do you think you had on your side?
Of course. There was divine help.
Oh, absolutely, Jeff.
And,
that must make you feel good. I mean, maybe good grief, but I didn't know you had that going on. I mean, how on earth did you survive? It had to be divine intervention. Yes.
Well, that's a long story, but my voice was talking, ordering these people around and it's crazy.
Talking about the need for divine intervention right now. What I want to tell people is this. You know, Jeff's been through what he was went through. I've been through what I went through. You know, usually when somebody's been through something, actually been through it, they really have a right to speak about it, including my and my son's right to speak about the COPS program, community-oriented policing system. Now, you will notice that in the United States, there is no reference to the COPS program.
Never.
On the media or anywhere, right?
Never
they don't
it.
Call it the COPS program. They do not call it the C.O.P.S. program. And they have really avoided that. I mean, I've been writing about it since 2004. And they don't want anybody to know about it. Well, that is what is going in right now. That is the whole reason for this this circus, monstrosity circus we've been, forced to watch on TV every night. The reason I know this is the British press calls it what it is. They call it, there were two articles, it was an article in the Telegraph or something, community-oriented policing system. They refer to it as COPS.
Mm-hmm. Interesting.
But there's no reference to that in the United States media.
No. Never seen it, never heard about it, except from you on this program. That's it.
That's right. Well, I'm just going to tell people right now that I'm not glad this happened, but, you know, things, in retrospect, I can use this. Because my son, Sam, who was shot, as Jeff knows and helped me out so much, one of the few people in the country who did, you know, as far as media is concerned, the community-oriented policing system in Portland, Maine is very big. It's extraordinary. I mean, I found their website, and I got it out to people, and they got so upset I found it, they took it down. I mean, I can't get it now. But anyway, they are into everything. It was unbelievable, the website they had. But anyway, the night that Sam was shot, and by the way, the guy who shot him was never arrested or charged. And finally, they sealed the case because they were stuck. They got so many lies. No, they just sealed it, which is against the First Amendment, right? But I did feel at least there was some relief for me. We couldn't beat the justice, the corrupt justice system, but they're stealing it.
We got the truth out. We got it out here. You got it out in your emails, and a lot of people supporting you.
Was admission of guilt.
Well, of course it is. Guilt. 100%.
We kept fighting it. And then about 2 years ago, I guess, the community-oriented policing system, COP, see, I want your listeners to know that they have these police that are referred, they work for the community-oriented policing system. And he's unelected, and he works with liberal left, like you see on the screen, right, every night, members of the community who are making decisions in regard to the police system in that particular area of town. And so his name is Argaitis, Patrolman Argaitis. And he lied. He put a lie out about what happened. He a week before the official report from the police, which was good because it was run by one of the excellent detectives that I really just love, who's just retired. He ran that report, and there were all these eyewitness statements and everything corroborating Sam. The report was very good. But the community-oriented policing system got its own report out on the internet 10 days before. Now, folks, I want you to think in terms of what this is going to be like for you when you have the COP system, which is what all these riots is about, period. That's all it's about, is implementing a police, an absolute police system in your community.
Yeah.
That's what the commission is all set up. You know, Trump initiated this whole commission. And we've got all the reports there. April 1 is, I've downloaded it all. And you should just become familiar with what President Trump has set up for you with the Attorney General Barr. Bad news. Anyway, this policeman, not only did he lie, he said that Sam had shot himself in the leg, right? He's a U.S. Marine, combat Marine, Gulf War I. He shoots himself in the leg, huh? That's what he got out on the internet, which is we could sue him, I think, on the internet, a lie. Then, a bit later, about a year later, we want our lawyer to meet with him. We want her to be able to have a conversation with him. And we get an email from the lawyer for the police department. She's a very good woman. She's been in there about 20 years, right? This is not our lawyer. This is a lawyer for the police department. The police chief is as corrupt and commie as can be, as we all know. He was all involved in the thing. But his lawyer in the department, she's been there a long time. She goes through lots of police chiefs, right? She told me that this cops guy, when we asked her, we asked for her to have a meeting with us. Actually, our lawyer said that she wanted to have a meeting with the cops guy, and he told the lawyer for the police department that he refused to have a meeting with her, with the Yosemite's lawyer. How do you like that? Now, who's giving the orders now?
Right.
This is just a patrolman who's a member of the community-oriented policing. He tells the police chief's lawyer that he refuses to meet with the Yosemite's lawyer.
Wow.
Just think about it.
Yeah. It's not getting any better out there, ladies
and
gentlemen.
Who's in charge?
That's right.
You see, we see it because we've been through it. We know what the cops program is. And all of it was a result of Ronald Reagan having that White House private sector initiative that I was a liaison with. I was there.
It all goes back.
A lot of it to Reagan.
Yeah.
Yep. And I couldn't believe it when they were talking about this private sector initiative where we were merging the government with the private sector, which is what you see right now. I mean, you're dealing with charter schools, no elected officials. See, look, what that cops guy, he's not an elected official. If he were, he could probably say, I'm not going to meet with him. You know, he's
right,
been elected.
Right.
He has to be accountable, right? But this is no accountability to you, the listeners to Jeff Renz tonight. None. You have no say. You have no representation anymore.
And if your city is an Agenda 21 city, and there are thousands of them in this country you have what's called a city manager. Understand.
Yeah. Well,
and look,
yes.
Just if you don't know if your city's Agenda 21, just look in your city government directory, see if you've got a city manager. If you do, you're done. You're Agenda 21.
Jeff, look, I remember we got a city manager in Camden just before I left to work for the U.S. Department of Ed in 1980.
Wow.
I remember that because I wanted to be on the committee.
Mm-hmm.
And I couldn't be because I had to go to Washington. We have had it for that long, a city manager. You've
just remember that
the
city manager is not elected. He is not answerable to anyone.
That's right.
The city council nor the mayor.
No, he isn't.
Mayor and the city council have nothing to say about the city manager. Understand?
That's right.
You've got a dictator in your town. That's what he is.
Well, she. No, I bet you anything that if you ask the average American if they know what regional government is, they would say no, they don't.
No, you know what?
This goes on to another subject that I want to talk about tonight. Enough on cops, huh? I want to talk about Brown versus Board of Education. I wonder if anybody remembers what that ruling was. It was in regard to integration. You know, that the blacks should have more rights.
Yeah.
And I was always in favor of that. Brown versus Board of Education.
Mm-hmm.
But then I found out through doing some research that I think it was Lyndon Johnson, that he had appointed it was way back. The Carnegie Corporation was involved. They selected Gunnar Myrdal from Sweden to write the brief for Brown versus Board of Education, which would integrate the schools, right? The southern schools especially, integrate them. And Gunnar Myrdal didn't want to do it because he didn't know enough about the blacks. He sort of opted out. And so they turned it over to these anthropologists, Margaret Mead, and Frank Boas and a few others that are very well known. They turned it over to anthropologists. And this is what happened. They were only interested in changing our form of government, right? So what did we get? We got Brown versus Board of Education and then busing. I figured this whole thing out.
Yeah.
And that busing, a lot of people who are listening don't remember this, but I'm so ancient. The poor black children were on the bus sometimes 3-4 hours a day. And those buses were taking them across state borders. Now, that's regionalism.
That's right. Where were the black children being taken?
White children in reverse were
being taken to their opposite polarity in terms of school systems, culture, society.
Well, what they were doing was integrating. They were taking the black children and putting them in white schools.
Yeah, right.
And then but that required this lengthy busing every day. Terrible. The little children were on, and the black mamas were very upset about it. But I just recently realized that this actually implemented communism in the country, because it implemented regionalism, which is communism, according to Zeitlin, the professor.
Oh, interesting take on that.
Yeah.
I'd never thought of it that way, but you're right.
That is
a communist move, correct? Brown versus Board of Education.
Oh, yeah. Well, Zeitlin, remember the sociologist, University of California, wrote that article that I have on regionalism and how we have to have regionalism. We're so late. We're so slow going along with it.
Yeah.
And it was published in the Communist Daily World, that article. And regionalism is communism. So everything you're talking about, like the manager, that's a regional government position, right? Rather than being elected. So regionalism is communism. And what they did there, they actually, it was a huge move forward to have those buses going across state lines and putting little children into other schools that were not, were not part of their state. This is regional government. This is communism. And this is what's going to happen with your children with a school to work, because if they can't find a place to train your child in your state, say you're close to the border, so they'll be busing them across the borders. But I did want to mention that, and that's just absolutely bizarre. That Brown versus Board of all of a sudden I thought, wow, they told everybody that was going to help them. Well, it didn't. And then I wrote that article, Experimentation with the Blacks in Education.
Uh-huh.
And they used them for that. They used them for implementing the Soviet workforce training system. This they started about 30 years ago. I have every document under the sun documenting what they did to the black children. They used the Skinner method on them, took all the grades out. They just used dog training, and they went down the tubes. This is all over the country. James Block, one of the leaders in the movement for mastery learning and outcome-based education, all Skinner, right? He said, I don't know of a single inner-city school that hasn't experimented with Skinnerian mastery learning. You hear me?
Charlotte
didn't say that. Mm-mm. Not a single inner-city school. So all these little black children were deliberately dumbed down. They used them as guinea pigs. No grades, no nothing. Absolutely terrible. But it was moving it towards the workforce training model, see? Because that's Skinner. Operant conditioning.
Got it.
Right.
Yep.
So they used them for that. And I used to, I was always making so much noise about education. My friends who lived in places like Greenwich, Connecticut, or whatever. Shaw, what are you talking about? Well, you see, Maine is sort of like a third world country, I guess.
Same
idea. They think we're like, using our students, too. We did get it. We got that virus that was spread all throughout the inner city schools, Mastery Learning Skinner. We got it here, too. But the wealthier schools, they didn't dare do it. And then after how many years of experimenting on the little black kids and dumbing them down completely, but they were good at, they were well trained for the workforce, basically, I guess. And then they moved it to all the schools, and that's what we have now. Workforce training for everybody.
That's right.
It's the Soviet model. The Soviet model.
Look,
you hear me?
Yeah. Let me ask you before I don't. We've got a half an hour to go almost, but I do want to make a point. I've talked to too many people. Well, not that many because I don't talk to many people, but otherwise intelligent people who just refuse to accept the fact that communism, Bolshevism, are at the root of what we're seeing here. They cannot accept it. They just can't.
How old are they? You know what? They're probably born after Reagan signed the agreement.
40s,
right?
40s, 50s, and all they say is, oh, well, you lock up so many people for 2 months, and they just want to get out and demonstrate. They're not offering, they're not communists. Please. I mean, it's just, it's sad.
They're 40 years old. Okay, so they got out of school 20 years ago. Look, sometimes I was thinking
Some are in their 50s. When you get a blind spot, it becomes like a permanent tumor. You can't see around it. Can't.
I think that, you see, the Soviet Union never went down. It's the biggest,
Communism didn't die. The Soviet Union didn't really die. No. That's right.
No, get the book New Lies for Old by Anatoly Golitsyn. New Lies for Old. He was in the Soviet high up intelligence. He tells the truth. He's got all the documentation, not just him. That was the biggest phony, the phony fall of the Soviet Union. But they got that across around the world. The Soviet Union dead, no longer, you know. And communism, the word communism was taken out of the dictionary. That's why
it was removed. It was removed.
Well, I don't know. My dictionary has it because I'm elderly, but I bet you anything. Mm-hmm. I wonder if it's even try to find it on the internet. They want that just to be wiped from anybody's head because that's what they're putting in.
Uh huh. That's good.
And, they'll tell me, you know, it's Islam. It's it's just a warm, soft, fuzzy socialism. We've had that since FDR. Look. It's a hardcore system they're putting in. If you don't see that on the street,
it's a ruthless, merciless system they're putting in. Make no mistake about it.
People are dumbed down. At least the Soviet Union, they were intelligent.
Well, what they're doing also, Charlotte, they're flipping the dumb, excuse me, and if I'm speaking in ways that offend some of you, that's just the way it is. They're flipping society. You're watching it now and putting the less mentally capable on the top. They've flipped it. They're in the process of putting the imbeciles on the top.
Nobody could question what you just said. We're all asking ourselves, well, you know, I imagine what it was going to be like when it happened, but I never dreamed that it would be these. You can hardly call them human beings.
Oh, they're so dumb. Dumber than
dirt.
They're weird. Generation Z, Zoomers, the last group. This is going to be the last group. The next group will be so totally, completely subjugated, it won't even be. You couldn't call them normal people.
I don't know how it can be worse than what we're
looking
at.
You cannot give me an 18-year-old and give me an ounce of wisdom. It doesn't happen. They have no wisdom.
They have pieces of knowledge, but no wisdom. Look, there are some.
I speak in generalities.
The only hope
you're right.
We have for this country is under 35 years old. Because they have this a small percentage that has gone on the internet.
Well, there's some really good millennials out there, like Millennial Millie. I've got one of her stories up. It's going up at the top of news. There's some good ones.
Yes,
you're right.
There are. And I've been bumping into quite a few of them. I mean, that through the internet, they've gotten the truth. Like you, perhaps. I mean, I think that there is a small percentage of the country
that gets it. No, they get it. They're on the right track. They got it. Here's one for you. Here's an example, dear Charlotte.
Yep.
The mayor of Portland, Oregon, has given. Now, let me finish. Not you, but listen.
Yeah.
The mayor of Portland, Oregon, is giving all city workers 40 hours, a full work week off. Get this, to grieve over the death of crystal meth head, fentanyl user, drug seller, 5-year ex-convict, porn actor George Floyd, and others.
Oh my gosh! Oh, gee.
How about role model? Is this a role model? Is this a joke? See, up is down now. They're taking the bottom of the dregs and elevating to the top. These are the Skinnerian role models.
How do they? Their brains have flipped.
So everything is being flipped. Anyway, go ahead. I'm sorry.
We can't
forget the plans that go back 100 years or more. These are Zionist, communist Bolsheviks.
They've been at it.
They know what they're doing.
Did you receive that curriculum that I sent out to everybody?
Oh, yeah.
I hope you did. It's an old paper. It goes way back. And the people, I've never been able to come out publicly and say what I'm going to say right now to the people who haven't seen this document. But finally, I saw the people behind the curriculum that destroyed our children's values. I found an old document from my friend who was in Naval Intelligence. It was somewhere. I hadn't seen it before. And it listed all of the curriculum that our children had to be exposed to, mostly called under human relations, brainwashing, and the people on the back of the paper that I had, which is about, well, I don't have the whole report, but I have about 50% of it. But on the back, you have a list, and there isn't one person in the 40 names that is not Jewish. Not one.
Governor Lehman of
New York is one of them. Herbert Lehman. It was way back then.
Oh, yeah.
And I can say this on a radio now. You know, I'm very careful about this. I have never really said that I was sure. But now I know. I know who destroyed our children's values. You should see the list of curriculum and all that is recommended by these people. Did you read that? I sent it to you.
It's send it again. I'll post it. Look, it's all Zionist. You can call them Jews if you want, but they're Zionists.
This is international.
They have Jewish names. This is international, secular Zionist movement of world hegemony and domination. That's what it is. That's what you're hearing.
And look at Trump. And Trump is all involved in this.
Oh, he's owned by them. He's owned by the Lubavitcher Chabad sect.
And his family. That picture that I sent through with that email of mine, there they all are. And they're all smiling. How nice. I mean, it's got to stop. You know, if the Christians were doing something like this, I'd be mad. This is not, the government has no right, like Trump, to be doing this.
40 million Christian Zionists in this country are leading the charge for the real Zionist assets that are pulling all the strings, and they are the dumbest of the dumb. They're not going to figure it out until it's too late.
Are they really that dumb, are they?
Oh, sure. 45 million of them. 40, 45, I don't know. Who knows?
Well, you know what? You know what's interesting here? Is in 19... When was the war over? 1942. It's in my book.
1945, the war was over, yeah.
That's right. But in 1942, John Foster Dulles, who was our Secretary of State and a real communist, right?
Oh, yeah.
I remember I used to take dictation from him in the Department of Ed, in the Department of State. I did. Yes. And anyway, in 1942, he gave a talk to... it's the liberal Christians and Jews and all. Nobody, it was mostly Christian denominations. And he called for them. Dennis Cuddy found this. It's in Time magazine way back in 1942. And it is in my book. Just look under Dulles. and it has Dulles' speech to these evangelical Christians and less evangelical too, probably most Protestants, right? And he called for everything that we're putting in right now, world government, everything. It's on the list.
Communism.
And he called for them to go home. This was a meeting. They all came in to listen to him, to go home and implement this agenda. This is terribly important. This is the secretary. He became Secretary of State, Dulles. But prior to that, he was calling on all of the, let's call them all Protestants, because that's where they were, to go home and implement this globalist communist agenda.
Right.
Have you ever read that article?
I think I saw it long ago. It was a long time, too long ago to remember. I should reread it. Can you do me a favor? And I don't mean to interrupt. Don't lose your train of thought. But go back to that list of 40 people and tell our listeners again, every single name on there happened to have been a Jewish name. No coincidence. Yeah. No act.
Well, you know what I'd like to do?
Yeah, go ahead.
Let's see, where is this? I could read.
Tell them who that group was again and when that was, because it's really important.
Thurl B'nai B'rith and the whole crowd. Right. I can't even find it right now. Where is it? But I couldn't believe this. I had everything here I was going to use for. Where's the picture of that? Where is it? Oh well.
Take your time.
Here it is. Okay, I found it.
Okay, good.
You should see this. It's a brown paper and it's a black internal part with a little boy's face, a lovely child, called Information is Not Enough. And it says the information, the implementation of human relations education in the classroom. Let me point out that about 1970, when I was on the school board, 1976, the schools in Maine were all told to put the human relations education into the classroom.
Human relations.
Yes, and Gertrude Knorr is the one who wrote this document, I think. It came out of 1958, it is, published by, this is an absolute document, the Anti-Defamation League of B'nai B'rith, 515 Madison Avenue, New York, 22, New York.
What year was that approximately?
What's that?
What year, approximately?
1958.
Okay.
And then it says, under Madison Avenue, blah, blah. And then it says, the author is National Education Director, her name is Knorr, N-O-A-R, of the Anti-Defamation League of B'nai B'rith. And then you have the curriculum, which is, developing a curriculum for modern living, diagnosing human relations needs, father of the man, fostering mental health, human relations in teaching, improving marking practices, getting rid of grades, right? Prejudice in your child, sociometry in group relations, the emerging self, nature of prejudice. They learn what they live. These are all the books that are being the training that's being recommended. Mm-hmm. Then for little ones, material for classroom use. Little stories on big subjects. The toy
60
maker.
Years ago. All right.
Yep. Yeah. Hanukkah, dance pageant, music materials, and the lonely Abalonian. What is that? A strange animal proves his ability and concern for the welfare of others and wins friends thereby. Feeling of rejection. Mm. Learning to understand children. Mm-hmm. Boundary lines. Cartoon technique. Okay, now I'm going to read the names, okay? All right, here we go.
See, this is what we're rolled out now. It's over 60 years ago. Understand. This is one major turning point in the beginning of the downfall of America.
Unbelievable. When I found this, I thought, because I never dared say anything. You noticed that.
I know. No, you've always been very reserved about that.
I found out who was behind the education stuff, because I'm going to make a point here. They never mention any of their names, except when it came to values clarification and sex ed, okay, you had Sidney Simon, Saul Gordon, and Kirshenbaum. Kirshenbaum was the values clarification. Kirshenbaum and,
well,
and that, Simon were the values clarification. That,
those were their banner programs in many ways.
And
think
I
about
went.
It.
I never wrote on anything unless I'd gone to the training myself.
Mm-hmm.
I even got in a conversation with Sidney Simon, a funny one. I can tell you about it later. It really is funny. He got quite mad at me at the cafeteria. But anyway, see, I do go after them if I can meet them. So anyway, I did know that as far as the academic curriculum was concerned, I couldn't find a real connection. Academic, you know, you had the John Goodlads, Ernest Boyer. You had all these horrible change agents that I detest, right? But they were the ones that changed history, you know, to social studies and all this stuff, and put in horrible programs that took the place of speaking English properly and grammar and all that. They were not the Zionists, you want to call them Zionists, I call them Jews, right? They were not these people. I'm going to read them to you, okay? Here we are. These are the people that were involved in destroying our children's values. And to me, that's the most important thing. Okay. Henry Edward Schultz, Meyer Steinbrink, Bernie Balaban, A.G. Ballinger, Herbert Lehman, governor of New York, huh? Leon Lowenstein, William Sachs, Benjamin Samuels, Melvin Schlesinger, Jesse Steinhardt. Then we have vice chairman, Joseph Cohen, Jefferson E. Pacer, Max Schneider. Now the treasurer is Benjamin Greenberg, then Herbert Levy, Benjamin Epstein, Bernard Nath, Paul Sampliner, Philip Klutznick, Maurice Biskier. Then we have staff directors, Nathan Bythe, Oscar Cohen, Arnold Forster, Alexander Miller. He's in community service. He might not be. He's the only name that doesn't sound it.
Well, Stephen Miller at Trump's administration. Stephen Miller in Trump's administration certainly is.
Well, it probably is. I think he is. I don't know how anybody could get on this list and not be. J. Harold Sachs and Lester Waldman. How do you like that? So, Charlotte, I go, finally, I'm able to identify the people that have destroyed my children. And one of my children did sort of go down because of this. Because of the values, but it was values clarification went down under, and that is Sidney Simon, right? And anyway, but I did get after Sidney Simon in the cafeteria, but anyway, folks, look, I don't have to tell you, your audience, I'm sure, but you know what it is? It's proof. I can send you a hard copy of that. I just really was amazed that they were so outspoken, you know, they had no problem identifying themselves.
No, they weren't hiding anything. No. That's the arrogance. That's the arrogance.
Well, now they do hide.
Yes, they're very stealthy in many cases. 5 million total in the U.S. in 1958. That's it. That 5 million, 2,500,000, virtually half of them lived in New York. All right, they're all in New York. So there you go.
Oh yes, half lived in New. You said how many are there now in the United States? You know.
Well, it's probably six. The figure's 6 to 7 million, maybe higher than that. It's about 3% of the population, I think. It's tiny.
Yeah, well, they certainly. I mean, to think that our president is. We've never had a president that's done anything. All the things he's doing, like moving the embassy to Jerusalem,
He does what he's told. He does what he's told. He's totally in service to Israel. Totally. Jerry Kushner and Princess Ivanka are Chabad Lubavitch members.
Know.
That is a cult among the Jews. It's the most really outspokenly anti-goy cult you could imagine.
You're right.
Rabbi Schneerson's writings. Just read them.
Oh, yes, he's marvelous, Schneerson. Yep, I know.
Mm-hmm. Well, mm-hmm. Jerry Kushner and his lovely bride, Princess Ivanka, go to pray at Schneerson's tomb.
Yeah.
And they have total control over Dad. Just remember that.
Right. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Now Schneerson is he going to be the next Shabbat, whatever you call it, following?
Oh, Schneerson died about I don't know 15 years ago. The Chabad Lubavitch movement germinated from him while he was still alive. But you really should read his. He hates all of us goyim. He hates us. We were just dirt under his feet. And that's what's running. That's why Jerry Kushner last week last month when he was talking about the number of PPE, personal protective equipment, for health workers, he said there's going to be plenty of those for the Americans. For the Americans. Jerry Kushner. He's not an American. He doesn't think of himself as an American. He was talking about us, the non-Jewish part of this culture and society, the Americans. Slipped there a little
you
bit, Jerry.
That. I wouldn't have.
Yeah.
You caught that.
Whoops.
But he just looks so
sleazy,
you know, like he knows
slimy,
something nobody else knows.
Absolutely. Sure he does.
And, but his wife, isn't that Trump's daughter?
Yes.
I mean, that's enough to... Wait a minute now. You know, if Trump didn't agree with all this stuff, he would tell his daughter just not to appear in public
He wouldn't have hired this. They control him. He's completely subservient to international Zionist elements.
He really is. I mean, his son-in-law has a big position in the government.
Huge. He's been put in charge of so many things, it's laughable.
Yes. And Trump depends on all the advice from him. He's in and out of there all the time.
Yeah, that's true.
This is really outrageous. You know, even if it weren't the Zionists that we're talking about, any group.
If these were some other little tiny group from Ireland or from Timbuktu,
absolutely.
We'd be talking about it the same way. This
absolutely.
Is not anything and, that no way you can call this. Prejudicial or anti-Jewish. It's political reality.
Yes.
That's what it is.
We would like to have people working for the president who understand the Constitution, the Bill of Rights. Really?
70% of Trump's appointees have been Jewish. That's the way it was about a year ago. It's probably the same now.
Really? Well,
yeah.
You've got some good stuff there. But anyway, that I'm glad you asked me to do that because nobody's going to get the information unless I get it out on the radio.
Charlotte,
I mean, here I am stuck.
They must understand. I got to say one other thing. Communism is directly from Judaic Zionism. You've got to understand that. It's the same thing. Marxism, socialism, communism.
Right.
They call it progressivism now. It's all laid back to the beginning of Jewish Bolshevism, which went into Russia, overthrew the Tsar, butchered his family, and then led the Soviet states of Russia into God, how many decades and 100 million deaths, okay? Communism.
At least. Listen, let me read you this. I forgot. It's this other document I got, but it's very short. And it's called... the aforementioned, I have some interesting old tracks out of the Soviet Union entitled American Negro Problem. This is so important, which prove how the Soviet Union and communists in high places were involved in an attempt to use the American blacks to subvert America. Now listen, the aforementioned pamphlet, I have it, entitled American Negro Problems, published by the Workers' Library Publishers, 11 East 125th Street, New York. Workers' Library number 9 is a tract. Has a handwritten note on the cover which states, quote, a program of racial strife for the United States presented by a representative of Moscow named Joseph Pogani, parenthesis, alien John Pepper, alias John Swartz, alias John Swift, etc. There is a note under the above as follows. These copies have been reproduced also by Offset from an earlier reproduction to which the above handwritten note had been added. A program of racial strife for the United States. Okay. Hey, listen, folks.
What was the date on that? What was the publication date of that? What was the publication date of that, approximately?
I don't think they gave me that. Have I got it? All right. It must be somewhere. It's very... Wait a minute.
Right, they've been using blacks forever. They've been using them since slave times. They made billions of dollars on selling them into slavery. We, the European Americans, fought the Civil War to get them out of slavery. And now they're still using them. Communist Bolsheviks are still using them in the streets. They're using them in the media. They're using them all over the place.
Absolutely. And this is such a dynamite little bit of stuff. It's American Opinion that got it out, remember? It says there's a note under the above as follows. Quote, these copies have been reproduced also by Offset from an earlier reproduction to which the above handwritten note had been added. Order 10 copies for $1.
Right. We got to wrap it up. Go ahead. Wrap it up.
Well, Belmont, Massachusetts. Okay. So, that's really, those two things that I got out tonight are terribly important. I don't know which one's more important than the other. It's the proof, first, you know, the Zionists, and then it's the communists. You say, yes, it's communism, and that thing about a program of racial strife, the United States, that came out of Moscow. So that means they decided to use the blacks to get the communism in.
There you go. And they're doing it.
I don't know. Yeah. Yes.
That's what's going on. All right, my dear. We've got to wrap it up here tonight.
I know.
Thank you.
I hope this was all right. I don't know that my brain is working that well.
Your brain
anyway.
Is working magnificently, and you've laid out some critically important information. So thank you for that. And we will talk to you very soon. Okay?
Than what I meant.
You did really well.
Okay. Thank you very much.
All right. Okay. Good night, Charlotte. All right. We'll take a break. Come right back.